A new study by Foreign Policy magazine and the Fund for Peace has found that 2 billion people live in nations in danger of collapse. That's nearly a third of the world's population. Pauline Baker is president of the Fund for Peace. She joins us in our studios. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
First of all, the index is called the Failed States Index. What is a failed state?
A failed state is a term that is being used today to refer to countries whose central political institutions are decaying and are in danger, really, of widespread civil disorder.
And how many countries currently meet that definition?
Well, at least 60 we have identified in varying degrees exist really in danger of some sort of insecurity.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at the magazine now, and you have these color-coded. The critical nations are in red, and at the top of the list is Ivory Coast. Second is the Democratic Republic of the Congo, then Sudan, and then Iraq, Somalia. Are all those nations basically in a state of collapse, would you say?
I would say yes. They're in a state of collapse, even though some, like Sudan, continue to have a central government that is functioning. But it is functioning at a minimal state, or even, in the eyes of some people, of course, a destructive state, because they are at war with parts of their population.
Mm-hmm. Now, why should we in the United States care about this? What danger do these states pose to us?
Initially, these kinds of states were looked at as humanitarian concerns. Now it's pretty clear that the threats that we have to deal with today emanate largely from these zones, because failing states create vast, ungovernable territories where if there is a competent ruling regime, then all kinds of other groups fill the vacuum.
Let me ask you, you have a group of indicators that you use to try to figure out whether states are in danger, and just give us a quick thumbnail sketch of what they are.
What we argue is that the institutional underpinnings of a state have to be looked at. Everything from demographic pressures to refugees and internally displaced persons. We look at human flight, basically a brain drain when a state starts losing its most productive and educated people, either because of political repression or because of economic lack of opportunity.
You know, I was just thinking in terms of the brain drain, you could almost have an index in Washington, D.C. by simply climbing into a cab and talking to your cab driver and finding out that in many, many cases, these are highly educated people states that are falling apart.
That's the human face of failing states. The other kind of human face is the face of a child soldier. When a society gets to the stage where it starts consuming its young, that really is a sign of a collapsing state, which is consuming its next generation.
You know, the current administration's a policy of promoting democracy and sort of leaving behind this American notion that we had to keep stable states in power complicates this whole issue, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It seems to me that they are looking at democracy solely through the lens of an election. And if you have a society that's in turmoil and you elect a Nelson Mandela, who everyone agrees is an outstanding leader, but he has no institutions through which to govern, he will likely fail. So it's not just a question of regime change. It's really a question of building functioning democratic institutions. True stability means that you're looking at a society with institutions that can cope with crises. I often use the comparison of crises we face here in the United States. The 2000 election, for example, was highly contested. In other societies, that would have led to violence, and people complain that our elections always generate armies of lawyers that go out and there's going to be a lot of litigation. Well, I would much rather have armies of lawyers than armies settling political disputes.
And what about states that are already in crisis, such as Sudan and Somalia?
That is very difficult. If we don't deal with these countries in the earlier stage, we get into terrible, terrible problems. And we are a country that is impatient for success. So when we do intervene, very often if we don't see results in 2 or 3 years, we start saying, well, it's impossible and we have to pull out. What policymakers are finding now in countries that have had crises is that we have to take a longer time frame, at least a 5-year time frame, once you get to a tipping point where things start generating in the right direction.
Pauline Baker is president of the Fund for Peace, which along with Foreign Policy magazine has released the first annual Failing State Index. Thanks very much, Pauline
Thank you.
Baker.